Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica, Mitch Albom, and Bob Ryan.
I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press.
I am Mike Lupica, MLB.com and the New York Daily News.
And I am Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN. We welcome you to the Monday morning edition of the Sports Reporters. We are with you each Monday and Thursday. And this is a very vital, busy time of the year. Football, gentlemen, football. And a very interesting day and week end of football was capped off by a dramatically, predictably perhaps dramatic game. Game we were all looking forward to see. We wondered whether the Las Vegas Raiders could repeat what they had done earlier in the year, which is actually beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And I was going to say at one point it was going to be to whoever got the ball last. But in fact, you know, the Raiders did get the ball last, but not quite last enough. What a game, though, wasn't it? And how about five lead swaps after the game was tied?
It was a great game. I don't know if Sunday Night Football has made some kind of deal with the devil that they get these great games, and they have, you know, it's the top announcing team, you could argue, and it's in the prime time. But I don't know about you guys. I'm watching with 2 minutes. I want to say it's about 2.5 minutes to go. And it looks like the Raiders are marching down. And I say to myself, run the ball. Run the ball and run off 35 extra seconds. You've got to run the ball to chew the time for Patrick Mahomes. And they sat there around 215, 205 for like three straight plays. They passed the ball and they were incompletion. So it kept stopping. And then there was a penalty and it stopped. And I kept saying, this is not good. This is just too much time for Patrick Mahomes. And literally, if they had run one more play with 30 seconds plus to run off, there wouldn't have been enough time for Mahomes to come back because they did that with 28 seconds left. Instead, he gets the ball back with 1:43 on the clock. 75 yards, seven passes, not a single run in that. All passes, throws him into the end zone. He made it look so ridiculously easy. And honestly, you have got to account for that. If you get in a close game with Patrick Mahomes, NFL teams should say clock first, and then let's hope that we can score, because you know he's going to score, Mike.
You know what, Mitch? I agree with everything you said, except even if he'd had a minute instead of a minute and 43, and he had to do it with six passes instead of seven, I have no doubt that he would have taken his team down the field. And to me, yeah, everything you said about the strategy is right. You're watching the clock not move, and you say, okay, guys, okay, this is going to come back and bite you, and it did. But to me, the headline last night, okay, and even though the Steelers are still undefeated, and even though the Raiders have now rung up the Chiefs' defense for 71 points in two games this year, it was just, for me as a sports fan, thrilling to watch the best player in the world play like the best player in the world when it was all on the line. He's got a Sunday night stage last night, and all he did was throw for 348 and two touchdowns. He had one very bad pick that was quite surprising. I think it was his second of the year. And if anybody doubts who, you know, the guy they used to call Bubba in golf, okay, when it was Nicklaus, Palmer and Nicklaus, and why, he's Bubba now. And he, as Dave DeBusschere once said, when they threw the bleeping money on the table last night, there he was.
I have one question, and this question I've asked many times over the years, and I'll confess, and this is not hyperbole. I don't understand defense, NFL defense particularly. How do you let that man, number 87, of all people in that building, get open at that moment? How is he not double teamed? How is someone at least not near him? How is he the one that is open? So, you or I could have made that. Well, I think
He did make him think that he. I mean, there was all that open space in front of him, Bob. I mean, if he didn't have to score on that play, and he did make them think that he could run all the way to the goal line. Which, if you look at the replay, especially look at it from behind, I mean, they. He was about to run in space. Oh, God, I love that expression.
Well, I'm sorry, but anyway, Kelsey was wide open. But no, it was terrific. I'm hung up on this idea of this back and forth nature of this. It was like a basketball thing. You don't see this that often at that level.
And Bob, as great as Kelce is, it's not like Tyreek Hill wasn't in the football game at that point. He had caught more passes all night long than Kelce did.
We can have it. All right, fine. But Kelce's the guy.
They've got two weapons.
And the Raiders tight end, Darren Waller, and Derek Carr. Derek Carr just kind of rolls along. You know, he's got a little bit of Phillip Rivers. You know, he's really good in a lot of games, but just doesn't get the attention or get over the top. He'll have some mistake games and you'll start downgrading him. But he played really well in that game. And that pass to Witten when he was running was damn good. I mean, that was like a 3-inch window that he basically had to hit him, and to tie that game, to go ahead in that game, was something. And you know, they would have been they would have run the table against the best team in football had the Raiders won that. So they're not done, and we're going to keep a good eye on them, and it will
be
really
fun. Playoffs.
Really fun if somehow they ended up playing Kansas City
and Mitch,
again.
Mitch, isn't it interesting, Bob? Isn't it interesting how it 10 games in, how the Steelers and Chiefs have not only distanced themselves from the rest of the AFC, they have distanced themselves from the rest of football. There's 1 and 2, and then we can talk all morning long about who's 3, 4, 5, and 6, but there's no question about who is 1 and 2, and put me down. I'm perfectly fine with seeing them on whatever the second Sunday in January. I mean, what a game that might be.
Yeah. I've already thought about that. No question.
There were many other games. First of all, there was a theme yesterday although they weren't necessarily the marquee games, but a lot of teams that had 2 and 3 and 4 wins ended up beating teams that had 5, 6, and 7 wins. And Dallas upset Miami. You saw that coming?
Okay. No, I said Dallas upset. You said Miami.
Minnesota. Sorry, Dallas upset Minnesota. You can see what Carolina did to the Lions, who should just give up the rest of the season.
We expect the Lions to lose. Okay,
that's the lowest point in a very low franchise's point in many, many years.
And the XFL quarterback.
XFL quarterback. They don't have Christian McCaffrey. They don't have anybody. They got all kinds of injuries. They're the worst. Every category they were the worst in, the Lions made them the best in. And honestly, they should shut the program down. And how Matt Patricia continues to coach is beyond me. But they're not worth spending time.
Thank you again, Lions, for screwing up at least a third of my football Thanksgiving. Thank you so much.
What a great game that'll be. But, you know, Houston carried itself well, and that'll be interesting because they play. That's why I'm saying there was this theme here, you know, Houston upsetting New England. And
Denver,
so there were a lot of
Miami
teams that... Yeah, and Denver over Miami. But I think we should talk about Green Bay Indy, because I said I'll take a little credit for that, saying, you know, I thought that was a game that the Packers could lose, as hard as it is to say the Packers will lose a game. And, of course, it came down to a fumble that nobody expected by the end. It was an overtime game. But, you know, you got to hand it to Indy. That's... Again, with Phillip Rivers, who's 100 years old, leading that team, Indy's now got the same record as Green Bay, 7-3.
Hey, Mitch and Bob, I'm sure we all watched a fair amount of that game. It's 28-14 at halftime, and the Packers beat themselves with mistakes yesterday. And as you watch the game, I don't know how much you guys watched of it, some weird fourth down calls from the Packers. I actually think that even though his numbers were as good as they usually are, I did not think Aaron Rodgers had a particularly good game. No, that's a bad loss for them. It's a great win for the Colts. And that loss would have looked a lot worse if the Vikings had beaten the Cowboys, which they did not. So it's hard for me to believe that the Packers aren't going to win that division. I just watched the Packers Sunday after Sunday and see how great Rodgers is, and see how I just believe he's been undone by the people picking the players at Green Bay. They don't stop the run. Even Troy Aikman, do you hear Troy Aikman say, "I don't know what the Packers are doing on defense right now"? And with all that, they still have a chance to win because of, I may be off on my math here, Bob, 9,000 holding calls against the Colts at the end of that. I've never seen anything like 9, that in my life watching football.
9,001, actually, Mike. I counted. They had nine in the game. They had five in that one drive.
Say that again. Five in one drive.
Who among us has seen anything like this at any level? No level. None.
And every one of them was a hold, by the way. Every single one of them, when you watch the replay, it was a hold.
In that sense, I'm taking notes on this game. I really did. And I'm going, they don't deserve this. It's ridiculous. And at the end of regulation, I got Indy blew it, exclamation. And they did not deserve, in a sense, any way, sense or shirt, to win that game. And then what happens, the one thing that can happen if you're in an overtime, a turnover, a fumble.
Yeah, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who had a huge play not long before that 47-yard pass down the middle that led them in. But, you know, the Packers, you can't win with four turnovers in the NFL unless you're playing the Lions.
The kickoff return, Mitch, and then the fumble on the kickoff return. I mean, they're 14-point plays sometimes, those plays.
Yep. So Green Bay is evened up with Indy, and with the exception of Kansas City, nobody's running away with anything. You know, Kansas City has a chance to maybe be 15-1, but everybody else I think is going to have four losses, five losses, maybe even getting into playoff games with the added team. So that's why hope springs eternal in so many of these franchises, even though they're not particularly playing so well. Now, one that I think maybe done, you tell me, Bob, is New England finally finished? Can we finally write them off for this year?
That was the dirt on the grave,
the death
knell. I think so. That was the dirt on the grave game. Their inability to rush a passer, it was embarrassing watching them futilely chase. It really looked like the big brother playing against the little kids in the playground kind of thing, when he would start scampering in the backfield and nobody could lay a finger on him. They didn't come close to sacking him, really, and the whole day he got hit twice in all the time he went back. He never got sacked and he was hit twice. That was the embarrassing thing. He just toyed with them.
Of course, being Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson toyed with them as what I'm spitting out here. And their inability to rush the passer was crucial in this game.
Well, just in time for Thanksgiving, Deshaun Watson was 28 for 37 for 344 yards and two touchdowns. He's been a mystery. The Houston Texans have been a mystery, as we all know. I mean, everybody thought that.
Is there a worse run franchise, Mitch? Seriously. Kid is so good and he has been so betrayed by the entire, don't you think? Like the entire organization.
Well, him, J.J. Watt. You know, how many years did J.J. Watt have to go through the same thing?
And by the way, that's the all-time record for that was a block shot. That was the Kembe Mutombo night. He blocked four shots.
He blocked four shots.
Tipped four. I'm not tip either. Blocked four passes.
That's going to be a great job for somebody. By the way, in the offseason, the Texans, you know, with him and just Deshaun, you just start there on either side of the ball. That's going to be a great job for us. All right, I got it. All right, here we go. We got, but before we move any further into our conversation, a word from our friends at Geico.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or rental's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All right, guys, I'm looking at the Steelers schedule now. You know, we have to do this every week, okay? Ravens next, Washington football team, Bills, Bengals, Colts, last game of the season against the Browns. Do I think they're going to do it? No.
No.
Is it impossible that they could do it? No.
Colts, that'll be an interesting game.
That's a great game.
December
27th. Yeah, December
27th. He's going to be fighting for a playoff spot, and Pittsburgh's going to have everything all wrapped up, and you wonder if they just, you know, take it too easy. The Bills game, maybe. Baltimore, You know, we've talked we talked about the Tennessee Baltimore game, and of course that went to overtime too. A really good game. And we said before going in that, you know, someone was we have both of these teams pegged to be really high in the AFC, and one of them might start looking at missing the playoffs as a result of this game. And Tennessee got it done when they had to, despite some Lamar Jackson heroics and normal fireworks. Ryan Tannehill was solid when he needed to be, and Derrick Henry came alive just when they needed Derrick Henry to come alive. He's a forgotten player for his talent. Yeah. And I know that's weird because he's always at the top, but he doesn't get anywhere near the attention that, I don't know, Dalvin Cook or Kamara or any of these guys. For some reason, we just forget that Derrick Henry's like the best running back in football over the last 3 or 4 years. Another 133 yards yesterday. And what do we make? I think Morris said about Baltimore's, you know, we thought they might have two losses all year the way they were going, and now they're 6-4.
Yeah, I know. I've been skeptical about them. I don't know. Part of it is the quarterback. The Mr. MVP, you know, there's still questions about, you know, the whole overall effectiveness, his overall effectiveness is, I don't know. I mean, I know it's a silly thing. It sounds silly, but I think most of all people agree. There's still a yeah, but with him, you know, and that yeah, but is throwing.
He's not the second best quarterback, and I know he's the reigning MVP. Okay, but you look around the sport. I was thinking this yesterday. Let me ask you, because I'm not being swept away, but you can't ignore what's being done. If you were going forward with the Baltimore Ravens and thinking about next year, I want to ask you both this: would you rather have Lamar Jackson as your quarterback or the kid with the Chargers, who can throw the ball the way he can throw the ball?
It depends on what kind of offense you want to run.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, but if you want to have your quarterback getting 50, 60 yards every week rushing, you know, there's no question.
Those guys don't win the Super Bowl, though,
but those guys don't last either.
They don't last, and they don't win the Super Bowl. And I'm telling you something, there's great. He has not answered more questions about himself this season, Lamar Jackson. He has raised more questions about himself. And, yeah, they're a bubble. All of a sudden, Mitch, you're right, they're a bubble team. They're sitting in third place in the North. They are a bubble team, okay? They have the same record as the Raiders. They have the same record as the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah. And a nod to A.J. Brown for play of the week when he got the ball and broke seven tackles on two passes on that final drive. I mean, you want to just talk about that cliche, he won't go down. That was that guy, and you love to see that kind of effort, especially when you live in a town like mine, where you watch teams that just, you know, week after week aren't putting that kind of effort in. So kudos to them. Now, speaking of quarterbacks,
by the way, one more thing about the Titans, Mitch. They remain an intriguing team, starting with when they made their run last year. And just when you think that, you know, they're against the ropes of getting hammered with body punches, they come out swinging again and give you a performance like yesterday.
Yeah. Well, what I had thought about the Titans is that last year they had one of those defenses that actually made you sit up in your chair and you would watch the way that they hit, and they were a reflection of their coach. And you just said, wow, with that kind of a defense and workable offense, they can go many places. And clearly they did last year, almost to a Super Bowl. But I haven't seen that intensity this year, and that's been part of the problem. They've been sort of up and down. Whereas they just looked like a monster in those final weeks last season. If you remember, every game they got tougher and tougher and tougher, and everyone kept saying, "God, they literally look like their coach. His face, his expression—that's the way they play." I have not seen that intensity. Maybe they turn it on late in the season, but that's why I think, you know, they came into the game at 6-3.
And one more thing about that game, and then I promise we'll move on, okay? Mitch is right. Derrick Henry ran for 133 yards yesterday. Lamar Jackson threw for 186 yards. And I'm telling you, you'd make that swap any day of the week if you're the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. Speaking of quarterbacks, where do you want to go, Bob?
Miami. What do we make of Brian Flores' decision? to pull Tua.
He might have been hurt a little. It was unclear whether he was totally physically right yesterday. I think he was suffering from some sort, but he was playing like a dog, and he took him out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I watched more of that game than I should have. it was Miami Denver. But the thing I kept noticing, you know, Tua, I'm trying to remember in Alabama, and you guys correct my memory. I believe when he played in Alabama, one of the many talents that he displayed was escapability. That he was, you know, he wasn't Lamar Jackson, but he wasn't Kyler Murray. But he sure moved around a lot and evaded things and bought himself time in the backfield, right? Am I remembering correctly his time in Alabama?
Yes, he was a great time buyer. He was a great time buyer in the pocket, 100%.
He bought no time in yesterday's game. He got sacked way more than a guy his age ought to get sacked. And I think that that's why Flores took him out. I mean, he just was... holding the ball too long, and he wasn't getting away from anybody. And I keep thinking, I'm sure everybody does the same, is this a result of the injury? Is this who he's going to be in the NFL? That he can throw the ball nicely, but there are a lot of guys who can throw the ball nicely in the NFL. But once you get over, wow, Tua has arrived, okay, what is he? And if he's not going to be an escapable quarterback, he better sure as heck improve his passing. He's got to be Tom Brady then. And he wasn't either, and I think that's why they pulled him.
Yeah, he did not look – he just looked – yeah, he looked like – Mitch, you're a musician. He looked like he was a beat behind the music, didn't he, yesterday? He just looked a beat behind. And, you know, that's a tough loss for them. I think, you know, they were starting to ride high, and even though Tua has been up and down since they replaced Fitzpatrick, you know, they were starting to feel good. That's a bad loss for them yesterday. Yeah. And I'm not saying it's going to keep them out of the playoffs, but it might keep them out of the playoffs.
No, it's a bad loss. But Denver, you know, Denver's a fallen idol now. They're nobody. And you got to be, you got to win that game.
Those are the
if you're pretending to go where Miami, you know, thinks they can go.
And by the way, what do we make of Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns, who you don't draw any pictures about their games every single Sunday? But they're 7-3. They're better than the Baltimore Ravens. I was looking it up this morning. I think they have scored fewer points than any team. I mean, I don't count the NFC East. They may have scored fewer points this season than any team that might make the playoffs. And they have another ugly win over the ugly Eagles yesterday.
Yeah. They've been outscored, Mike.
I know. I know. I mean, they've been outscored,
but they're 7-3.
Yeah.
There's something in there, you know. And here's Baltimore. They're just ahead of Baltimore now, who, well, they don't score either. Excuse me. Their defense is not allowing fewer than 20 points a game. They have a +7 differential, and the Browns have a -2 three differential. Point.
Well, the Philadelphia Eagles are nothing to go slapping your chest about if you knock them down. They're just an imploding machine. But they did get Nick Chubb back. And Nick Chubb makes a big difference for them. I think he had 114 yards yesterday.
Well, a lot of that in one chunk.
Yeah.
No, big run.
But that's how running backs are. Sometimes they get one yard and then they get 50 yards.
One big chunk.
You got Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. They clearly have, you know, talent. They did that yesterday without Myles Garrett, by the way. You know, and their defense is, but their defense somehow makes turnovers. And in a game like Philly, which was a turnover machine, that was perfect for them. That was an awful game. I don't know why I spent as much time looking at it as I did. It was terrible. But you're right. The records is a record, and they're 7-3. And I think that they'll be exposed in the playoffs when they get there, if they get there. Eventually they got to play Pittsburgh again. And I don't think they're going to come close to winning that. But, yeah, you know. There's somebody to deal with. Meanwhile, that's a starting quarterback to watch. How about the backup quarterback, Taysom Hill, who we thought when we last did our show we were talking about how, no, you know, it makes sense not to start Taysom Hill because Jameis Winston's a starting quarterback and Taysom Hill's mostly a running guy and a specialty guy and a trick guy. And why would you want to expose that to a full game? Well, maybe it was because they were playing lowly Atlanta, who just can't get out of their own way. Or maybe because he's just really good. But he had an unbelievable game. And I don't just mean running, because he had multiple plays that were Taysom Hill plays. He just didn't come in from the bench for them. He was already in there. And then he took the snap and he took off in a quarterback option. He can throw. I mean, he can throw on the run. He can throw accurately. This is a guy who mostly...
He threw in traffic, Mitch. Mitch, he threw good balls in traffic yesterday.
I mean, that team is so loaded in offensive talent. They've got Jameis Winston's their third quarterback now as a backup. And I guess it helps, of course, to be throwing to Michael Thomas and to be handing the ball off to Kamara. But listen, that's the team that he's on. And they are not going to lose a beat until they get Drew Brees back. So,
hey, can I just say something about Mr. Brees? Do either one of you know, I had to look this up yesterday, how many ribs there are in the human body?
I'm going to guess that there's like 7 on each side.
24.
Is that about right? Oh, okay. 12.
He basically broke half of his. Okay. Now, I know this is his last season, and I know he wants to come back, and I know he believes, and he has a right to believe with his record, that he has a right to go to one more Super Bowl. Okay. Do you think 11 broken ribs, Mitch and Bob, might be the universe's way of trying to tell you something?
Particularly at your age. Particularly at that age.
Have you ever heard of anybody breaking, other than in an accident, 11 ribs in a football game?
Well, that's what I always say. Like my friends and I will watch a play and we'll say, if that was us... We would have, a broken arm, a broken leg, whatever. That's all it would take, by the way. And this is not being facetious.
No.
If any of us talking here went in for one play and got hit the way an average NFL guy gets hit, we'd have 11 broken ribs. That's because it's us. And right. And because we're not built, with all the muscle to protect us, and we're not used to taking those hits and all the rest of it. Well, he took a hit. Like a 40-plus guy takes a hit, and he broke 11 ribs. Maybe a 20-year-old, it doesn't break that many ribs on. So it shouldn't be surprising at his age. But Mike and Bob, we can postulate all you want. He's coming back. He'll get shot up, and he'll play. And that's one of those things, can you stand the pain sort of injuries? It doesn't necessarily inhibit you from, it's not a shoulder injury. It doesn't keep you from throwing the ball. It just brings an awful lot of pain when you do. And you know that he's going to try to tolerate.
They're really good. If he comes back, they're really good. And when you add it all up, if he's remotely Drew Breesian, okay, that they're the best team in the NFC. Now, we may have a different opinion after we watch Touchdown Tom play his next game, because they've been a little Jekyll and Hyde. But when you see... The guy who's Mitch and Bob, Taysom Hill is the third string quarterback. They won with their third string quarterback yesterday, and they are 8-2. And I know Breeze is going to come back, and if he comes back and he doesn't get hurt again, they now, to me, they're as much a favorite to go to the Super Bowl as anybody.
Yeah, well, who is the favorite in the NFC?
I want to see how Touchdown Tom and the Antonio Brown thing and all, they have given him all the weapons. Brady, to me, guys, I was thinking about this the other day. Isn't Brady like LeBron now? I want that. It's like a buffet table. I want that guy. I want that guy. I want that guy. And if you give me all those guys, we may contend for a championship. Would it shock you if it is the Bucks in an NFC championship game?
No, it wouldn't.
Right?
Because this is one of those, if in the land of the blind, a one-eyed man is king years in an NFC. I mean, all right, that's a slight exaggeration, but you know what I'm talking about. There's no clear-cut favorite. There's a lot of teams that you would say, well, I guess I can see it. No, I wouldn't be shocked. That's the nature of this year. That is sums up the NFC this year. You wouldn't be shocked if ABCDE made it to the finals.
There's no clear-cut favorite. And the NFC East has erased itself, but Green Bay's a damn good team. Green Bay's a damn good team. Seattle's a damn good team. New Orleans is a damn
the
good
Rams
team.
The Rams are a damn good team. That's why tonight, yeah. Mitch. Tonight,
that's why tonight's
that's
a big game.
It's it right?
Right.
That's it. One
right.
we want to see tonight.
What you're really saying, Bob, is there's no Kansas City on the NFC side, and you're right about that.
Even then,
record-wise, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no, there. Right. No, I'm talking about aesthetics. I'm talking about too. You know, they're not. There's no great team out there in, by historical standards this year. No,
well,
I don't care.
Well,
unless the Steelers make a claim.
The Super Bowl
if the Steelers
the
make a claim by going, you know, 15-1 or 16-0, okay, fine. But at this point, I'm not prepared to crown them as a historically great team.
And two, before we move off football, two injury notes worth a Joe Burrow. Was sad to see.
Yep.
Very, very sad to see. You know, he was really putting together a great campaign in his rookie year. And forget about how many wins they had or whatever. He was developing as a quarterback week after week. And, I'm sure he's going to be out for some time. And the other one I worried about was Kyler Murray, who it looks like he's going to be okay. He got a shoulder injury, too, though.
At least not his throwing shoulder. I mean, it was his left shoulder, right?
Right, yeah. But that was a good game, too. I mean, it was a while ago, but that was a really good game of Seattle
and one more thing. And by the way, we are sponsored today by Cuts Clothing. Whether you do your holiday shopping on Black Friday, Cyber Monday, or like me, whenever I get bored with the game that's on or I want to take a break from writing, you can save a lot of time and trouble by shopping Cuts Clothing. They are, trust me on this, the best shirts, polos, and hoodies you will find. Classic styles taken to the next level with the latest technology, their own custom engineered, wrinkle-free Pika Pro Fabric that's downright buttery soft. And I'm lucky enough that as a writer, I spend a lot of my life in t-shirts, and Cuts are the best that I've ever had. And unfortunately, my boys make me bad because they look way better in theirs than I do in mine. And because they're cut just right and stay in shape, they're in style for anything, with long or short sleeves and a selection of collars, styles, and colors that'll fit for work or play. They're great gifts, and in the spirit of holiday savings, you can save on everything they have. Skip the gimmicks this saving season. Pick up the quality, minimalist clothes your favorite athletes, entrepreneurs, and even writers are upgrading to. Shop CutsClothing.com between November 11th and December 1st to save 30% site-wide. That's 30% off everything with no code required. Just go to CutsClothing.com between November 11th at 6 a.m. Pacific to December 1st at 10 p.m. Pacific. CutsClothing.com, the only shirt worth wearing. Mitch and Bob, one more thing. Okay, and it hasn't always been pretty for the defending champions of pro football, okay? But they have followed up a Super Bowl win by winning 9 out of their first 10 games. You know, we take them for granted sometimes. They're 9-1.
Except we talk about him incessantly for good reason. You know.
All right, listen, one college football game of note. Wisconsin crashed and burned against Northwestern. And I promise you, I was starting to think that Wisconsin was checking a lot of the boxes that Ohio State checked. And then did it not look like Wisconsin was never going to score another touchdown ever? Okay, as that game went on. But the game of the day was Indiana showing up the way they did against Ohio State and maybe taking a little bloom off the Justin Fields rose in the process.
Well, the thing is, a pass defense, Mike. I mean, the idea that Penix ran through for 491 yards while they ran for minus one. And so, I mean, I would think that that was arching some eyebrows in the upper echelons of college football, the teams that conceivably could be their competition in January. Whoa, 491 yards passing. But that was a fun game. How about
that? It was a fun, totally unexpected game. When you see Ohio State 35-7 in a game, you shut it off. Right. You just shut it off. And you say, you know, okay, I know where this is going. In fact, when I was watching it, I was thinking about, didn't we say 52-14? I think somebody threw that number
out. Thursday,
yeah,
yes.
On Thursday, somebody threw the number out. Well, it could be one of those 52-14 games. And I'm thinking 35-7, 52-14.
I think it might have been you, album.
Maybe whoever it was. It looked like that would be the case. 35-7, and it ends up 42-35. Teams just don't do that against Ohio State. And Justin Fields doesn't throw three interceptions in a single game for Ohio State. I mean, Michael Penix was not as good as he needed to be early on, or they could have won that game. I mean, they went into halftime, I think, down 28-7.
But the pick six lost him the game. But here's my question, Bob, okay, and Mitch. Watching the game, and now you realize it's something, you know, something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear, okay? Right. Why didn't Ryan Day kick a field goal to make it 45?
I did not understand that.
Now, and people on and I just I didn't criticize. I just said, why didn't he kick the field goal? And people were saying, well, he didn't trust his kicker. And I said, well, his kicker had kicked seven extra points in this game, and that kick wasn't going to be much longer. That it made no sense to me, and that was what left the door open. Not much, but for Panic, you know, at the end.
Yep. Mike, I said the exact same thing. I said either his kicker is got a leg in a cast, or this is a bad decision. Because you kick that, you're done. You know, you've pushed the
lead.
Maybe
he was tired from kicking all those extra points, Mitch.
Yeah. I don't know.
How about Ty Fleifogel to touchdown passes of 43, 63, and 30, and 56. Not bad.
Fleifogel.
By the way, did either of you guys see we've got a lot of basketball to talk about. Did either of you guys see any of the footage of Indiana coach Tom Allen with his football team afterwards?
No.
I encourage you to go because it's positive. Okay. It's not like the great Santini, okay? But he is screaming in a crazy way about what character, and I'm not happy. Oh, no, you have to go see this because it's a bizarre couple of minutes. He's a good coach, and they ought to be proud, and you know they're going to have no chance to get to the tournament. But that was, Mitch, would you agree, Mitch, for an hour on Saturday, that was college football as riveting as it could be after 35-7.
Yeah, after 35-7. If you were still watching after 35-7.
I was. I don't even know why.
I was hanging. I said to my wife at halftime, I'll give him a chance, but then I'm going to go out and take my walk. And for some reason, I didn't at 35-7, and I was rewarded. I took my walk afterward.
And meanwhile, once again, Alabama, years. Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson as your top four.
I
didn't see that coming. All right, we've got a lot of NBA stuff to talk about, but first, a word from our friends at Ritual. Hey friends, taking vitamins daily is a great way to fill the gaps in your diet, you know, for the nutrients you're not getting from whatever you eat while you might be sitting watching a game. If you do that, you might want to take a look at what's in your multivitamin. A lot of top brands add sugars, GMOs, synthetic fillers, artificial colors. Who really cares what color your vitamin is? They even put in some animal byproducts that you'd be shocked at. But Ritual is not your typical multivitamin. Ritual gives you key nutrients like vitamin D3 and others that your body can actually use with no fillers, no colorants, no shady additives. When I found out the difference, I was sold right away. I was impressed right by the start from a clear bottle of vitamins that you can see exactly what it is, to the ease of taking them, to the fact that it's very important not to have fillers. I've been studying this for years, and I know that when you take vitamins, you often get a lot of stuff that you don't want to take. Sometimes they even have sugars in them. Not with Ritual vitamins. In fact, their delayed release capsules are easy on your stomach, whether you take them with or without food. And since they're scientifically designed for men and women and their different life stages, you can get exactly what's right for you delivered right to your door every month, just like I do. You deserve to know what's in your multivitamin, and that's why Ritual is offering our Sports Reporters listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/reporters to start your Ritual today. Okay, good luck trying to keep track of where everybody is playing next year or a few months after the...
Without a scorecard.
You got it. I mean, a lot of big-name players have moved. A lot of medium-level players have moved. You know, the fourth and fifth guys, sixth men. have moved all the way around on the board, and even to the LA Lakers, who are the reigning champions, they made a lot of changes. And it's hard to even know who's on Philadelphia and the Pistons. Not that they're a contender. I literally have no idea who's on that team except Blake Griffin anymore. They traded Trevor Ariza. I think had three stops last week. But I don't know where he finally landed.
We're going to explore that. He wound up in Oklahoma City, but we're going to explore that later, Mitch.
In a parting shot. Well, good.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So, I, Mike, you said something before we got on the air that I think is important about this movement and what it means for the NBA. Share that with our audience.
Well, Mitch, we've had this conversation before, and it's not just me, okay? I believe that when the biggest news you make is with extraordinary contracts and extraordinary player movement, like the one you just referenced, and Bob's going to do a parting shot up with Ariza, I don't think that's good for business. This is a nice flurry of news cycles, okay, that'll go on for a week or so, okay? And some teams did improve themselves. And Marc Gasol ended up with the Lakers. That's a huge deal, okay? But this sport is getting no television ratings right now. And it's not the only major sport that's hemorrhaging money because of COVID, but they are hemorrhaging money. You know how panicked Silver was last year that he was even talking about an in-season tournament. I am one who, for as giddy as people see, with all of this activity and all of this player movement and guys making $40 million a year, okay? There's a bubble. I may be dead wrong about this. I believe there's a bubble about to burst with the NBA because I believe, to mix metaphors here, I believe of all the major sports, the NBA is the most a paper tiger right now.
You know, they were talking, I don't know. I'm going to respectfully disagree. I'm not that worried about it in that the owners, unless they're printing up, you know, printing money up in their basement, it's got to be there somewhere in their minds. And we, Mike, if you backtrack 10, 20, 30, 40 years, 50 years, we talked about money and where are they getting this money? And, oh my God, he's making $100,000 a year kind of thing. I don't know. I don't know if it's anything new, just the numbers are bigger. That's all.
Well, I'm going to do a parting shot about just how big those numbers are. But in terms of just personnel and moving about, I tend to side with Mike. I think that there's a lot of news in the NBA about certain stars, what they do off court. Right. What they're tweeting, who's getting what money, who's starting a production company, all that stuff. But when it comes to the actual games, nobody's watching them. They're not riveting. They're not exciting. There's a lot of presumptions that it doesn't matter who's winning in the first or second or third quarter anyhow. And you know, even when the playoffs came, and even with LeBron, the biggest star in the game, going for another ring, they got 5 million people to watch a game. I mean, Tucker Carlson gets that every night on Fox News. It's just a disconnect between the headlines that Mike is referencing, which are always there in ESPN or other sports sites, and the actual audience that enjoys the game. There's something there.
I just think it, Bob. Listen. You're in the Hall of Fame, and you know my first gig in the newspaper business was covering the NBA. You know how much I love the NBA. I believe the NBA, for all of the talk about the young talent in the game, there's still one star in everybody else, and that's LeBron James. I believe it is an extremely overrated product at this time.
Well, I mean, aesthetically, you know, I'm not happy about the drift in the three-point.
No. I'm talking about the product, Bob.
That's the product.
The brand, okay? I'm telling you, I don't think this sport is... If they treat it still like it's the hottest thing going. It's not.
All right, well...
Meanwhile, what do we think about some of those moves? Yeah. Who has improved themselves or lost huge chunks here,
well,
Bob.
Well, talk about one of them. Gasol to the Lakers. That's a big deal.
The Lakers have upgraded since the end of since they won their rings. They've upgraded. I think in general, there's been a significant movement below the two great players. And I think that they have, it's a positive all the way around. They weren't going to get any more out of Rondo than they got. He's going to Atlanta. We'll see how that goes. But they've done themselves well, I think, no question. And I love the interesting move of Montrezl Harrell going down the street.
Yes.
That's an interesting one. He's coming off a career year. He's a good player. It's a kind of physical player that they didn't have that they now have. I think it's a wonderful compliment for Davis and up front. Gasol's got something left in the tank, I think, to give him. I think they did very well. The other team
How old is Marc Gasol at this point?
35. 35.
Yeah.
And the other, I know, but he's.
I mean, they got rid of JaVale McGee.
And Dwight Howard went to Philly.
Yeah, and they lost Rondo. They lost Danny Green. They lost Howard, and they lost JaVale McGee. They brought in Schroeder.
Yep.
Matthews and
they
Harrell
better,
and now Gasol.
Don't you think they got better?
Yeah,
they got better.
I like them. Well, they didn't get any worse.
Right.
They didn't get any worse.
Philadelphia got what it needed and needed shooting to surround the other Embiid and Simmons. The question then was still going to be the whole thing is, can you win with Embiid and Simmons as a duo? Is that going to work or not? It's Doc Rivers' problem now and no longer Brett Brown's. But I think they got this the auxiliary parts that will help them improve.
I got a question for you, Ryan, and then for Mitch, okay? I'll throw it to you first. Whither the Los Angeles Clippers?
Oh, I think that whatever the window that was open is
you think
shutting.
It's closed? You think it's closed? Mitch, do you think it's closed?
Yeah. They're not beating the Lakers. They're not I don't know. I think that they had their moment, and now it's just going to be how long will it take to unravel those contracts there and who's going to try to go someplace else. In hindsight, Kawhi Leonard staying in Toronto versus going to L.A.
Oh boy! Is that
look at how good Toronto was, and they didn't have him. If he had stayed, could he have defended his championship there against the Lakers?
It's a great question, Mitch. And I'll tell you something else. Guess who aren't going anywhere? The Miami Heat. I don't think the Miami Heat are going anywhere. And
no,
they're as much a favorite to me to come out of the East, right? As anybody else.
Now, with all this money that we're talking about, there's only one time, one big shift of a team investing in someone else's guy for the big money, as opposed to teams re-upping their guys. Jason Tatum signed a max to stay. De'Aaron Fox signed in Sacramento to stay. There's others who have signed to stay. Van Vliet stays in Toronto, but it's Gordon Hayward going to, of all places, Charlotte. Very odd, very interesting, very unforeseen. The supposition was that if he went anywhere, it would be to Indiana, that they would get a sign and trade perhaps to Indiana or maybe even to New York. But Charlotte, hey, Michael Jordan, who has got the reverse Midas touch in these matters, but they're playing 4 years, 120. I like him. I wish he had stayed. He ain't worth it. That money.
Mitch is going to address the finances of the sport momentarily, okay? But you just referenced a guy. Mitch and Bob, did you ever feel that you were watching a $30 million basketball player when you watched De'Aaron Fox play basketball? Because
exactly
I never did.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm here to talk about. And we'll do that in the parting shots. The money in the NBA, as you point out, Mike, the money is becoming a bigger story than anything else.
And
you know, there are a handful of guys who want to stay with their teams, and kudos to them. But for the most part, it's not even talked about anymore, and it's funny how that has changed, because you go back 15 or 20 years, guys were seen as, and certainly when LeBron James did it on national television, guys were seen as being disloyal and hurting the fan base when they jumped for a big contract to go to another team. And now it's just rent-a-player. Guys who are associated with the franchise are there. They can even win a championship. It's like, thanks very much. Let me go try to win it someplace else. It's like the Brother Love's Traveling Salvation Show. You know, where it just rolls into town and then rolls out. And I think that's part of it, Mike. If you don't know, listen. I work in sports. I write a sports column. I can't tell you who's on the Detroit Pistons right now.
I feel the same, Mitch. I feel the same way. The Knicks made 1,000 moves last week. All right. I just want to remind everybody again that we're sponsored by GEICO, okay?
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or rental's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too. because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
I want to ask this last question before we get to parting shots, okay? I'll throw it to Mitch first and then Bob. If we agree that the Lakers are still the best team in the NBA, who's the second best team right now in your mind?
Good question. You know, you'd be tempted to say the Heat because they sort of kept their group together, and they were the ones who played Miami to played the Lakers to at least a couple games in the finals. I like Toronto, as I really do, as a team.
Even without Gasol.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to see how that changes things. Boston has been taken apart to some degree, and Philadelphia, I don't know what to make.
Right.
And Golden State is the question mark. Okay, let's talk about that. We haven't even mentioned them, but Golden State on paper. You know, if everybody comes back, except, you know, obviously they're not getting Clay back. But they still got a pretty damn talented team. Are they the second best team in the West? Is Portland or Denver going to take that next step?
Mitch, I think I'll die on this hill. I think James Wiseman is the real deal. I think he's going to be a really good rookie. And if he is, we've talked about this before, he will be an intriguing team. So, Bobby, well, I'll ask you, could Portland move up? Could Denver move up?
If Thompson hadn't gotten hurt, I would have unequivocally said Golden State. But that is too big a thing for them to overcome to be that good again. They're going to be better, much better. They're going to be a playoff team, but they're not going to be what they could have been with him. And I'm going to withhold judgment on Wiseman. Miami makes sense, but Denver. I like my eye on Denver. I'll say Denver, but there's a gap. It's the Lakers and draw a line, and then we can. There's a huge argument.
Okay.
All right. This week's parting shots are brought to you by Ritual. You deserve to know what's in your multivitamin, and that's why Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/reporters, and you can start your Ritual today. Our ritual of parting shots begins with our own Mike Lupica.
Now, parting shots.
A good thing happened with the Packers after a bad loss on Sunday to the Colts, as Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers both spoke the way they did about Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Here's a part of what Rodgers said. I've had my fair share of fumbles. It was just bad timing, obviously, but that stuff happens. He made a big play at the end of regulation to kind of get us going on 3rd and 10. And here's the thing. Valdes-Scantling didn't do any more to lose this game than Rodgers did with some bad throws and LaFleur did with some weird fourth down play calls and the Packers defense. It wasn't Valdes-Scantling who blew a 28-14 halftime lead. It was still cool to watch his coach and quarterback stand up for him. Sometimes you can look like winners in sports even when you lose.
I'm going to guess that Trevor Ariza has a story or two he could share with us. He sure had enough teammates. The 6'7", 35-year-old forward knows what it's like to be good enough that somebody wants you, but not good enough they do much to keep you. He was traded 3 times just this last week. And assuming that there won't be any more movement between now and December 22nd, will suit up for his 10th team in a 14-year career, this one being the Thunder, who follow the Knicks, Magic, Lakers, Rockets, that's twice, Wizards, Suns, Kings, and Trailblazers. He's averaged as many as 14 a game. He's had a 40-point game. He's got a ring with the 09 Lakers. He's clearly an okay player, a seasoned pro. I guess by this time he knows who he is. I mean, teams keep reminding him, hey, Trevor, you're good, but rent, don't buy.
I was watching how many NFL players were injured over the weekend, then happened to pull up the free agency signings in the NBA. And boy, are the wrong guys getting paid. Did you see where Sacramento's De'Aaron Fox just signed a 5-year, $163 million extension with Sacramento? 5 years, $163 million. That's over $30 million a year for a guy who admittedly has star qualities, but is only 22 and has never made an all-star team. $33 million a year? Gordon Hayward just signed a $120 million contract with lowly Charlotte. Hayward can be a terrific player when he's not hurt, which is pretty often recently, $30 million a year. By contrast, the average NFL salary is between $2 and $3 million a year, less than half of its NBA equivalent, and the likelihood of a career-ending play is always a hit away. Forget the pigskin, young kids. Learn how to dribble. There's gold in them thar hills. That's going to wrap things up for today's Sports Reporters Podcast. We do this every Monday and Thursday, and so we'll be back in a few days to set up a big weekend of sports. If you like what you heard, please leave us a comment. Leave us a rating. We always appreciate that as well. Stitcher, Spotify, Apple, Pandora, all places where you can hear the Sports Reporters Podcast, as well as any place you get popular podcasts. Until we see you in a few days, on behalf of Mike Lupica and Bob Ryan, this is Mitch Albom wishing you a great week and a happy Thanksgiving.